As I mentioned earlier, we're coming to the very end of the Easter season, and the readings today help us to look forward to Pentecost, which is another of the mysteries of the Easter season. It's interesting to take a look at some of the background of our reading. So one thing is to remember that at the time of Jesus, the Israelites and the Jews had all been formed and brought up and trained for centuries to follow the law of Moses, strictly the law of Moses. Even today, if you meet devout Jews, little has changed. They're careful to observe circumcision. They're careful to observe dietary laws, socializing, so that they don't put themselves in an unclean, unkosher situation. In every generation, the Jews were told to avoid table fellowship with Gentiles, pagans, non-believers, or to eat the food that was unclean. And these Mosaic laws were powerful dividing lines. In many ways, they still are. Dividing lines between Jews and Gentiles. And know something as a fact. Devout Jews consider us Gentiles. That's who we are. The pagans originally, before Jesus came, before Christianity, Gentiles were the pagans who worshipped and sacrificed to false gods, ate unclean things, lived in unclean ways. If a Jew associated with Gentiles, they were taught that they would become unclean before God by their contact. So they isolated themselves. Now we know that Jesus, after the resurrection, appeared to St. Paul. Remember on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Equating himself with the church. And after his conversion and baptism, Paul was sent by Jesus to the church and to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, which had not been done yet. Up to this point, whatever was church was Mosaic in Israel. They hadn't gone outside yet. It was always God's intent that the people of God would carry the word of God to non-Jews, pagans, Gentiles. However, the Jews almost never got around to any missionary work or evangelization work. It doesn't show up in their scriptures or their history or their practices. The only Old Testament prophet sent by God to the Gentiles was Jonah. He was the only one. And God sent Jonah to preach repentance to the pagans, the Assyrians, in the city of Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to do it. It would make him unclean. Everything about him, every cell in his body knew that was wrong, but God was commanding him to do it. But he refused to do it because he insisted on being a good Mosaic Jew. He fled God. He ran away. He went down to the city of Joppa, a coastal city south of where Tel Aviv is now. It's on the Mediterranean coast. He bought a ticket to the western end of the Mediterranean. He wanted to get as far away from Israel and Jerusalem and Nineveh and God as he could. So he bought a passenger ticket on a boat to go a long way away. Well, God got Jonah back on track with a storm at sea, not too far from Joppa. Jonah was thrown overboard. He was swallowed by a whale. We hear this story. 3 days in the belly of the whale, and he was then spit up on the beach again. He's back at Joppa. When Jonah did finally agree to go to preach to the Gentiles, he didn't want to. But he knew that this was obedience now to God. And it was very effective. God had promised that he was going to destroy Nineveh if they didn't repent. And Jonah is the only prophet that his prophecies never came true. He preached, they repented, God relented. That's the story. And the entire city of Nineveh, from the king down, repented and put on sackcloth and ashes. Now, with that background, let's go back to Joppa. So, this time, St. Peter is down in Joppa. He's preaching in Joppa and healing and raising the dead back to life like Jesus did. Jesus is in the church. The apostles are imitating Jesus in the church. Now, in Joppa, many centuries after Jonah, this was a long time after Jonah, here was another Jew, another devout Mosaic Jew, an observer of Mosaic law, Simon, now Simon Peter, Peter, our first pope, Peter the apostle, the leader of the church, is also called upon to preach to Gentiles like Jonah was. The church was growing and it was still not what we could call Catholic. He was not outside of Israel, he was inside Israel. The church in Israel and Jerusalem was still very much under the influence of Mosaic law. Joppa became the place where the Lord calls Peter for the first time to recognize his faith in his church that Jesus founded to be universal, to be Catholic. It started in Joppa, first with Jonah, and now centuries later with Peter. The angel of God appeared to Peter, preparing him for an encounter with Gentiles, and Cornelius was the Gentile. He lived on the coast there in Caesarea, not too far from Joppa. He was a Roman centurion, and he was already what they called a God-fearer. He'd already been reading Old Testament scripture, perhaps going to the synagogue, and he was already knowing God through the Word of God. And he had a vision as his conversion continued. And an angel appeared to him and said to send messengers down to Joppa to bring a man named Simon Peter to him. Cornelius was a man who prayed. And the angel acknowledged that he was a man who prayed, a man who was righteous, and a man who gave alms. And he was a Roman centurion. He was a very important man with a very large responsibility. In today's reading, Cornelius, the Roman centurion, falls at Peter's. Remember, Peter was just a fisherman. And here's this centurion falling at the feet of Peter. And Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up. I myself am also a human being." And then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." This is Peter, our first pope. This is Peter's Catholic moment. It's the first time it happened. He's the leader of this young church that hasn't even stuck its head outside of Israel yet, and he must embrace the Gentile believers. Contrary to Mosaic traditions. And then Peter witnesses another Pentecost. He'd already been through one Pentecost, and now he witnesses another one. While Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded at the gift of the Holy Spirit, that it should be poured out on the Gentiles also. For they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. That's Pentecost. And it's happening in a Gentile home to an entire household of Gentiles. Now, since Cornelius and his household had received now the Holy Spirit, but they hadn't been baptized. And Peter's companions recognized immediately that the Holy Spirit had chosen this moment, was leading them. And he had to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, not to Moses, but to the Holy Spirit. Now Peter asked, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who've received the Holy Spirit even as we have?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, the church has recognized the connection between baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we've all received. The Holy Spirit had indicated, the Holy Spirit was leading, directing, and indicated that these Gentiles were also among God's people and had to be baptized. Can you imagine this moment, this day? Peter, knowing he was the lead apostle, all of a sudden had his church expanded about 1,000 times bigger than he ever thought it was. Because now he was the leader of something much bigger, much, much bigger than what he had conceived before going to Joppa. Like Jonah, he was challenged to go and preach to the Gentiles. Jonah refused. Peter accepted and followed the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter was severely criticized by the other Jewish Christians, the other circumcised believers. And it was rough, and there would be a lot of conflict as a result. St. Paul and Barnabas would go out later on with the church's blessing, with St. Peter's blessing, with all the apostles' blessing, to preach to the Gentiles. But Peter had to do it first before Paul did. And the Jewish Christian community struggled with this, often insisting that Gentiles should be circumcised and follow the dietary laws before they could be saved or before the Jews could have fellowship with Gentile Christians. Imagine how it would be if you had family members you couldn't lawfully sit at the table with. That's what was happening in Jewish families. Imagine what would happen if your son or daughter married a Gentile Christian and now they couldn't come to dinner because you followed Mosaic law. This is what was going on. This was a serious business, and it affected not just the temple, not just the apostles. It affected everybody who became a Jewish Christian, and it would follow the church, and it wouldn't be fully resolved for about a century. But as the church became more and more Gentile, it led to a number of things. One of them was the Great Council of Jerusalem, where all of the apostles listened to Paul and Barnabas when they came back from their missions, and they encountered Jewish Christians who followed them around city by city, contradicting what they'd said. Imagine you're St. Paul, and you've had these successful evangelization experiences, and then somebody comes from Jerusalem and then undoes everything you've done. This was a big moment. This was a major turning point in the church. It was forcing the church to realize it was universal. It was Catholic. That's a big step. That's when the church became Catholic for the first time. From Joppa, from the house of Cornelius in Caesarea, and open the sacramental life of the church to all nations. The psalm says, "The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power." St. John wrote in that second reading, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God." You can't be a believer of that and deny somebody table fellowship. Jesus taught us, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now we know how the story ends. Both Peter and Paul would eventually find themselves in Rome at the end of their lives. After evangelizing both Jews and Gentiles, they were united in Rome and persecuted in Rome and martyred in Rome. Rome was that pagan Gentile capital of the known world. Both men, the apostles, brought the gospel of Jesus and the church to Rome and gave birth to the Roman Catholic Church under the apostles Peter and Paul. They would both die in Rome for their obedience to God, but the church could never, ever again return to this tiny, comfortable little church in Israel, in the Holy Land. Things had changed too much. And since Peter's visit to Cornelius, our church has been Catholic. And that's one of the lessons that we have to learn over and over again. And here we are with our population changing, immigrants coming in. We're Catholic. And we're being stressed and we're being challenged. How Catholic can we be? We only have one church, one pope, one parish, one pastor. Jesus is in the church.